It's a powerful and evocative chapter, isn't it, Isaiah 64? The cry for the Lord to come and to have mercy upon a sinful nation. You'll see those two references to remember verse 5. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. So that's in reference to us, Christians, believers, who remember the ways of God, as we're called to do. And then the second reference, verse 9, do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. That's a reference to God, that he wouldn't remember our sins forever. So one remembrance about us and one remembrance about God. We've just sung, haven't we, in that song that the Lord would remember mercy in the midst of the years, which is the reference we had in Habakkuk 3 on Sunday evening. Habakkuk 3 verse 2 that we looked at. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time make them known. In wrath remember mercy. That's the verse that inspired that song, Restore, O Lord. It's based on Habakkuk 3. Verse 2. It got me thinking as we were thinking on Sunday about asking God to remember mercy. It got me thinking about what's the biblical warrant for asking God to remember things. It's a slightly strange thing to pray, isn't it? To ask God to remember things. It seems on the face of it to be quite unnecessary. Why do we need to ask God to remember things? Isn't he the holy God? Isn't he perfect? Surely there's no sense in which he's inadequate or forgets things at all. We are forgetful people. We need to be reminded to remember things. Remember the highway code. Tanya's learning to drive at the moment. She looks at things in the highway code and she says, well, what about this when you come to a junction? And I have a look and, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And of course you have to modify your driving again, don't you? Because most of us read the highway code about 20 odd years ago and never read it since, am I right? And so we need to be told to remember things because it's slipped our mind. But God's not like that. So why do we need to ask God to remember things? He's perfect in every aspect. Nothing slips his mind. It's impossible for him to forget anything unless he chooses purposefully as an act of his will not to remember. So why do we bother asking him to remember things? It struck me that there is this great reason in Scripture to bring our prayers into line with his great will. We ask him to remember, and that causes us to remind him of something in the past or something that he has spoken or that we have done or that he has done. Something that's happened already to bring us into line with something that's already been revealed or declared or done. And it's a case of us laying our life before him, asking him to deal with us in the light of something that he knows fully about. And that's prayer, isn't it? Prayer is us coming before God, asking him to deal with us in the light of something that he and us know about. And of course, there's plenty of biblical warrant for that. It's a healthy thing to do, to bring these things before God, to remind him and to ask him to remember. So I went searching in the Scriptures for biblical warrant, and there's actually plenty. There's plenty of reference in Scripture to asking God to remember things. Now, the majority of references in Scripture about remember are like the way they're used in verse 5 of Isaiah 64, about us remembering something or other. You can perhaps think of some off the top of your head. Somebody throw one out. A command in Scripture for us to remember something. Anybody think of one? Ecclesiastes 12. Well, that's a famous one. Yep. Say again. The day of the Lord. The Sabbath day. Exodus 20. Yep. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's two famous. They're exactly the two I wrote down, actually. Can anyone think of another one? They're perhaps the famous ones, but there's actually lots. There's dozens and dozens of them in Scripture, particularly in the New Testament. Lots of, and perhaps the majority of uses of the word remember in Scripture are calling us to remember things. But then there are plenty about the Lord remembering things, like the use of verse 9. There's plenty like that about the Lord in the third person, saying about him that he does remember this or he doesn't remember that. There's quite a few in the third person. But then I thought, well, what about all the ones where we're actually praying to God to ask him to remember something? In the first person, Lord, please will you remember this? What about those? They're a slightly smaller group, but there's still a lot in Scripture. Tonight I want us not to take a microscope and examine one passage, but I want to take out a telescope and just scan across Scripture, just with a big sweep, not looking into any passage in any great detail, but a big sweep, just to see what amazing merit there is in all kinds of different situations in praying, asking God to remember. Tanya said to me earlier that we don't often, in our praying, we don't often ask God to remember things. But many, many people in Scripture do. And as you go through, but it's mainly in the Old Testament, because there's only one reference in the New Testament. There's only one time in the New Testament that anybody addressed God and asked them to remember. Can anyone think of it off the top of their head? Say again? The thief on the cross. It's the only New Testament reference. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Addressing the Lord there, remember me. That's the only New Testament reference. I couldn't find any more. But in the Old Testament, there's lots. And it's almost a who's who of the Old Testament when you scan through and look at all. Now, there's so many references, I thought it would be too difficult for you to flick through from page to page. So I've printed them all out. So that'll be a little bit easier. So let me just dish these out. And then you can just track through my notes as I go through them. And hopefully a pattern and a picture will emerge as we just flick through these. Because you'll see that the things that God is asked to remember are very varied. And they're very applicable to our situation. We'll discuss at the end what things we ought to ask God to remember in our praying, in the situation that we're in. So just as we sweep through and as we scan through, try to get a sense, if you want. I mean, I've highlighted on my copy each of the things that are being asked, that the Lord is being asked to remember. If you'd like to do that on yours, that'd be a great thing to do, to perhaps with your pen or underline or as a marker, just to pull out the thing that God is being asked to remember. But this is very interesting. Okay, the first one is Moses praying after the golden calf incident. You remember that the people of Israel had fallen and done this great act of idolatry. So soon after they gathered there and the Lord had given them the law. And yeah, here they are. And they sin. And you remember God wants to punish them. So Moses goes to prayer. And this is what he prays, look. In Exodus 32, one of the things he prays. Remember, this is Moses to God. Remember Abraham, Isaac and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have promised, I will give to your offspring. And they shall inherit it forever. All the references, by the way, are in the ESV on this sheet. Just for change. Here's Moses saying, Lord, remember your promises to your forefathers. I know you want to wipe out this nation right now, but Lord, remember what you've done in the past. Remember that you said the offspring and this land will be to their children. And this is their children. You can't wipe them out, Lord. Remember what you said before to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. We can pray like that, can't we? Remember, Lord, what you've promised, what you've set in stone. So even though we're in the midst of a jam like that now, Lord, remember your promises from the past. Then Moses again, a little bit later, Deuteronomy 9. It's the same incident, actually, but just in the next book. And you remember he was so interceding for the people that he went and lay prostrate on the ground before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. And after lying there before the Lord, again he says, remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Do not regard the stubbornness of this people or their wickedness or their sin. So he sets the remembrance for the Lord over and against the stubbornness of the current people. That would be a great prayer, wouldn't it? Lord, remember your faithfulness and your promises in the past as more important than the stubbornness and the sinfulness of your people right now. What a great prayer that is. Asking God to remember that. And then Samson, we looked at that not many weeks ago, didn't we? Samson, you remember at the end of his life, he killed more in his death than he did in his life. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. You remember we looked at how the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and gave him that strength. And if the Lord had not remembered him, in that moment of his death, he wouldn't have been able to push on those pillars and collapse that building, because remembering me meant the Lord coming upon him and giving him the strength. That's a prayer we can pray too, isn't it? Lord, remember me and please strengthen me to do that which you've called me to do. Remember, Lord, that you called me. Remember, Lord, that you saved me. Remember, Lord, that you've given me your Spirit to live with him. Lord, remember me. That's a prayer we can pray. Then how about Hannah? That's an unusual one, isn't it? 1 Samuel 1. It's an awesome chapter, 1 Samuel 1, isn't it? You remember Hannah had a rival, didn't she? And these two ladies married to the one man. One lady had lots of children. Hannah had none. So she was being picked on and ridiculed by this other lady. And she's full of bitterness and weeping. And so in verse 11, she cries and she calls out to the Lord. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." That's an act of dedication and of sacrifice. And of course, she had Samuel as a result of God's answer to that prayer. And Samuel, the great prophet Samuel, who had then anointed David and was so used of God in those days of the kings. "Remember me, Lord. Don't forget your servant." That's a great prayer, and it's a slightly different one than the Samson's prayer. Samson's prayer of "remember me" was so the Spirit would come upon him for strength. But here's Hannah: "Remember me, Lord, and don't forget your servant." Don't forget me, Lord. I know I'm only little old me, and I've not been able to do that which I wanted to do. But remember me, Lord. Don't give up on me. And she makes this vow, and the Lord does remember. We're just going through these verses, George, on the sheet about God remembering. And then King Hezekiah, he was ill and about to die, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and added 15 years to his life because of this prayer. This was his prayer. It's repeated twice, once in Kings and once in Isaiah. "Look, now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. I won't read the second one because it's almost identical, but God answered that prayer in 2 Kings 20 and added 15 years of his life, and he continued to rule. But Lord, please remember, I've walked before you with faithfulness, with my whole heart. Lord, remember, I'm all yours. Remember, Lord, that I'm not serving anyone else, but everything I've done is for you, Lord. It's for you. My whole heart is yours. Remember me, Lord. Please save me, spare me, heal me, because my life is yours. That's a great prayer to pray, isn't it? Over my page, Solomon, in his prayer at the dedication of the temple. That's a great prayer, 2 Chronicles 6, isn't it? Many, many powerful statements in that prayer. When you remember that David didn't get to build that great temple in Jerusalem, but Solomon, his son, did. And it stood for all those centuries. And here was his prayer at that dedication when the Spirit came down and in mighty power. "Oh Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Remember your steadfast love for David your servant." The reference to David, of course, was because the promise about the temple was given to David before Solomon. But Lord, remember your steadfast love. That's a prayer we can pray, isn't it? Remember, Lord, your faithfulness will be another translation. Your faithfulness, your faithful love, your steadfast, your ongoing, eternal, faithful love. Lord, remember that. That's who you are, Lord. Nehemiah prayed, "Remember me," so many times. In fact, there are 7 different prayers. I've just grouped them all together there. But all the way through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a great prayer. Nehemiah 1 is one of the great prayers of the Bible, isn't it? And there's a "remember" in that one. But if you scan through the book, there are all these other references as well. He was a frequent prayer. Let's be like Nehemiah and pray frequently. The Lord would remember. Let's just scan through the different things that Nehemiah asked God to remember. First off, chapter 1, "Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples.'" He's building up to that great prayer, asking to go back and restore the walls of Jerusalem there in Nehemiah 1. But he goes on, "Remember for my good, O my God, all that I have done for this people." You know, help me, Lord. Remember all that's gone on, chapter 5. And then, completely different tack, chapter 6, he says, "Lord, remember my enemies." Those two guys there, Tobiah and Sanballat, are his enemies. "Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. Remember what they've done to me, Lord. Remember what they've said." That's an entirely different thing, isn't it? You know, when we're being attacked and are under real grief and opposition, we can say, "Lord, remember what they said to me. Remember what my boss said to me today, Lord. Remember that terrible situation that I was in. Remember those words, Lord. Well, Father, help me to live holy in the midst of that situation, Lord." Just opening up the situation before God and reminding him and asking him to remember the wicked and evil that's been done to him. That'll come up later in the Psalms as well. He goes on, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this. Do not wipe out my good deeds that I've done for the house of my God and for his service." Remember, I'm serving you, Lord. "Then I commanded the Levites they should purify themselves and come out and guard the gates to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember this also in my favor, O my God, and spare me according to the greatness of your steadfast love." A number of things coming in together there. But It sounds like he's banging his own trumpet of righteousness, but I don't think that's really what's going on there. He just means that he's reminding the Lord that he's instituted worship again. That's the whole point about the Levites and the Sabbath day. The Levites and the temple and the gates and the Sabbath day are all to do with the worship of God. Lord, remember that our main aim is that you should be worshipped according to the greatness of your steadfast love. And then remember them, O my God, because they have consecrated the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and the Levites. That's from the same chapter. And then a little bit later, and I provided for the wood offering at appointed times and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. Lord, please remember us. Don't turn your face away. Come and join us. Come and meet with us in this place of worship. So Nehemiah, great prayers. How about Job? Totally different. Three times Job cried out to the Lord, asking the Lord to remember. But these are very different from Nehemiah's prayers. These are in the midst of, well, almost despair. In the midst of his pain and suffering. Look at that first one, Job 7:7. That's an odd remember, isn't it? Remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never see, never again see good. That's a strange prayer, isn't it? You know, almost when you're at your lowest ebb, you might say, oh Lord, just remember that I'm a vapor. Just wipe me out, snuff me out, Lord. Well, I don't think he's actually saying snuff me out. But how about chapter 10? He carries on. Look, remember that you have made me like clay and you'll return me to the dust. Another verse we often remember, that the Lord remembers that we are dust. Well, here's Job actually saying it in the first person. Remember, you've made me like this, Lord. You could pray that in the midst of physical weakness, couldn't you, or exhaustion? You can't do that which you wanted to do in the midst of exhaustion or sickness or being laid aside. Lord, remember that you've made me like clay. You've done this, Lord. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Remember that you've done this. And will you return me to the dust? And his third one, oh, that you would hide me in Sheol. That's in the grave, in death. That you would conceal me until your wrath be past. That you would appoint me a set time and remember me. That's almost a cry for judgment, because he wants his life to end because of the sufferings and the pain. Maybe you've prayed a prayer like that because of the reality and the pain of suffering. And then in the Psalms, there's this whole range of different remembers in the Psalms. Eight different Psalms. Mention it with a number of the different psalmists. David in Psalm 25 prays, just as Habakkuk did, remember your mercy, Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. That's a great prayer to pray. And then he flips it later on in the next verse, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Please, Lord, don't remember my sins. According to your steadfast love, remember me. Isn't that great? So don't remember my sins and my youth and my transgressions, but do remember me for the sake of your goodness. That's a wonderful, wonderful verse to pray. We could pray that together as a church, couldn't we? Lord, don't remember our faults and our sins because of our foolishness, because of our naivety, because of our sinfulness. But Lord, remember us as your people for the sake of your goodness. What a great prayer. Asaph, in that famous Psalm 74, you remember, where he couldn't understand why the wicked had such an easy time and the righteous seemed to have a hard time. Well, three times in that Psalm, he uses a prayer of remember. Remember your congregation, which you've purchased of old. You know, you bought us, Lord. We're yours. Remember us. You know, don't just look on the unrighteous, but remember us, Lord, the righteous. We're yours. You've purchased us, which you've redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Remember Mount Zion. That's another reference to God's people. Where you have dwelt. You're amongst us, Lord. Remember us. How can you just let the wicked have a good time? Remember us, Lord. Come to us. And then verse 18, look, of that same psalm. Remember this, O Lord. How the enemy scoffs and a foolish people reviles your name. And the next one's the same, isn't it? Arise, O God. Defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. You could say that to God, Lord. People laugh at me. People at work laugh at me. People in my family laugh at me. Lord, remember. You know, you walk through town and people call you a Bible basher if you try to witness to them, maybe. You can go and tell the Lord about it. Lord, remember how they scoffed at me. Arise, Lord. Change their hearts, Lord. Remember their scoffing. And arise and turn their heart, Lord, that their foolishness might be turned to wisdom, that they might own your name, those people that scoffed at you. And then Asaph again in Psalm 79. Do not remember against us our former iniquities, our former sins. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. It's a prayer of confession, repentance. Let your compassion come speedily. He could bring our sins to mind just like this, couldn't he? One by one, speedily. He could bring every single one of our sins before him speedily. But what he's saying here is, don't bring speedily my iniquities, but bring speedily your compassion. That's great. And then that well-known psalmist, Ethan the Ezrahite, lesser known actually. This verse, or these verses, sounds really gloomy, but this is why it's not always helpful to take a verse out of the context. But if you look at, we won't do it now, but if you look at those in the context of Psalm 89, it's a very upbeat psalm, full of praise and worship and thanksgiving. It's not a downbeat psalm at all, but these sound this way if you lift them out. But this is what he says. Remember how short my time is. For what vanity you've created all the children of man. Sounds like Job, wouldn't it? If you read that and didn't know where it was from, you'd think it was from Job. And the second one. Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations. Remember those things, Lord. But you have to go away and read the psalm. But he ends up saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is still great and upon the throne despite those things. He's as it were, he's bringing his emotions, even his human emotions of despair and desperation, he's bringing them before the Lord and being dealt with in his soul so that he ends up in a position of praise. Then there's a few unnamed psalms, Psalm 106. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favour to your people. Help me when you save them. I put the NIV reference in there because I think that's helpful. Instead of help, it says, come to my aid when you save them. Lord, when you come and rescue your people, don't forget about me, come to my aid. Don't just save all the rest, but come to my aid, Lord. Remember me when you show mercy. Lord, I'm your child. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. You might want to pray that on a daily basis. And then Psalm 119, that great psalm, there's one verse in it with a remember. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. Now, it's an interesting verse, that, because normally we have to remind ourselves to remember God's word, don't we? Remember your Creator. Remember the word. In fact, there are lots of references in the Scripture where we're told to remember the command, or remember what I wrote to you earlier. Paul says to the Corinthians, remember what I wrote to you in the previous letter. So we have to be reminded to remember the Lord's word. But this is the psalmist reminding God, or asking God to remember the word He gave him. Isn't that interesting? Lord, remember that word You gave me, in which You made me hope. Lord, You gave that to me, so I am going to hope in You. So don't disappoint my hope, Lord, because You gave the word. You gave the word. The word gave me hope. I'm now hoping in You. So You have to fulfill it, Lord, because You gave the word. That was the basis of my hope. My hope's not just in winning the lottery, Lord. It's in Your word that You're going to come to me. What a wonderful prayer that is. Lord, remember Your word. You gave it to us. So it says it in Your word. We're going to trust in it. Lord, remember that You gave it. You're God. Wonderful prayer. And then a song of ascents, Psalm 132. Remember, O Lord, in David's favour, all the hardships he endured. We can pray that about those we're interceding for, can't we? The people in our fellowship have been through amazing hardships, more so than most of us have borne. And we can say, Lord, remember the hardships they've been through. Lord, in Your mercy, in grace, remember what they've been through, Lord. You've seen it all, even the things that we haven't seen. Lord, remember. Be merciful, be gracious, uplift. And then a post-exilic psalm stuck on the end, Psalm 137, of an entirely different period, much later, isn't it, when they came back from exile in Babylon, and remembering that people mocked when Israel was smashed. And that's what this verse is about. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, on the day, it's not, the ESV is not very clear in this one, against the Edomites, on the day Jerusalem fell, is what the NIV says. How they said, lay it bare, down to the foundation. But they mocked. That's so relevant, isn't it? You know, when Christian marriages break down, when Christians trip up, when the church is disunited, when Christians make a mistake, when you say something that you shouldn't say, you know, when things go as they shouldn't, then people are very quick to point the finger and say, are you Christians? Look what you've done. Well, that's what the Edomites did. They laughed. Ah, you Israelites, you say you've got God, but look, your Jerusalem's just been smashed and you deserve it. Bunch of no-hopers, the lot of you. They laughed and they mocked. And so the psalmist prays, Lord, remember against them that they mocked when Your people were smashed. And we can pray that prayer. Isaiah, be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all Your people. That's the verse that we just read in Isaiah 64. It's great, that, isn't it? Be not so terribly angry, Lord. Remember not iniquity forever. Of course he can remember our sins if he wants to. But Lord, please don't remember them forever. Cleanse them, wash them, take them away. And we know that he does say that he won't remember them forever. And then Jeremiah. I've got there's three different instances of Jeremiah. The first, after the Lord promised to destroy all the people threefold with sword, famine and plague. It's a terrible chapter, Jeremiah 13, 14, 15. The Lord said, the people were so sinful, he said, I'm going to destroy them all because of their sin. So Jeremiah gets on his knees before God on behalf of his people to intercede, to ask God not to destroy them. And this is what he prays, look. Do not spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. He's raising the stakes because God's covenant is forever with his people. So he says, Lord, if you break us and smash us with sword and famine and plague, Lord, won't that break your covenant? Remember your covenant, Lord. This is your word. That's at stake. He's raising the stakes of God and reminding God of his promises, of his covenant. And he goes on, chapter 15. Oh, Lord, you know. Remember me and visit me. Take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, or the NIV has long suffering for that word. In your long suffering, take me not away. Know that for your sake, I bear reproach. And then in chapter 18, that's the chapter of the potter and the clay, you remember. And the people didn't like what Jeremiah was preaching, so they threatened to go and kill him, and they scheme. They're going to attack him because he's preaching to them. And he finds out about it, and he goes to prayer. And so he prays, look, should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for my life. Remember how I stood before you to speak good for them, to turn away your wrath from them. So that's referring to the two previous verses. You see, he goes to God and says, Lord, remember I prayed for them. These people are trying to kill me. Remember, Lord, how I prayed. Remember me. I prayed for them, even though they revile and persecute me. That may be your situation. I'm sure you've prayed for people that have persecuted. I've certainly prayed for people that have persecuted me. I'm sure you have. Lord, remember. Remember those prayers. Even though they persecute me, Lord, please still remember those prayers. Still, please remember that I prayed there for them. Remember to turn your wrath away from them. And then in Lamentations, also a prayer of Jeremiah. Remember, after Jerusalem fell and he was weeping at the devastation, the anguish after Jerusalem's been destroyed. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace. You can tell the Lord to remember things in your past. You know the things in recent days and in long distant days that have caused you great difficulty and you found it hard to pray about. But the Lord remembers too. And so Jeremiah still prays, even though it's fresh in his memory. He prays and reminds the Lord and asks God to remember what's just happened. And you can pray that. Lord, remember what's before us. Remember what we've been through as a church. Remember what we've been through as a family. Lord, remember the struggles of my life and my past. Remember, Lord. Come to us, help us. And then the Habakkuk reference that we had on Sunday. O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear? In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. The everlasting mercy of God. Balanced in the midst even of his wrath. And then that one New Testament reference that I mentioned, the dying thief. Interesting, isn't it? So many different ways. You see the richness of that. Sometimes it's helpful, isn't it, just to sweep through Scripture and see what Scripture teaches on a subject in a number of different ways. It's so rich, so many different ways in which God is asked to remember. And aren't a lot of those applicable for today? And so rarely do we pray, remember. So when we pray tonight, let's ask God to remember various things. Now, as we try to apply it to ourselves, some of these are directly applicable, aren't they? Some of these prayers. We can pray exactly as they've been prayed there. But let's brainstorm some other things. What else can we remind God of? There might be theological things that it's appropriate for us to ask God to remember in prayer. There might be historical things for us as a fellowship. Or there might be topical things that are going on at the moment that we need to ask God to remember as we pray. Let's just throw out a few. What things as we come to prayer tonight should we ask God to remember, in addition to what we've looked at?
Remember,
And we could say that in the language of many of these prayers. Remember, Lord, we're trying to reach out to people for your name's sake. Remember, Lord, this is not about us, it's about your gospel. Remember that, Lord. That please, we're seeking to win souls for Christ. And we could ask him to remember. Of course he knows. But he knew all these things too. So, yeah. Yeah. Remember, we belong to you. You've given us. Yeah. We're your people. Remember us, Lord. We're only a small fellowship. But remember us, Lord. We're in Christ. Yeah, that's our theological standing, isn't it, before the Lord. Remember, Lord, that we're not here because we're perfect. But we're here because we've been given to Christ. Yes, I think, I mean, it does sound a bit strange. Again, it's not helpful lifting it out of the context, really. But when you think of it in these terms, he was a good king, and he was leading the nation after God. And for the plea for extra years is really that he would then be able to lead the nation in accordance with God's ways. He had, and he knew that. And so in asking for, and that's what I think the key is in the whole heart. Faithfulness and with the whole heart. He served and led the nation according to God's ways, and he wanted that to continue. So I know it does sound a little bit like he's pleading his good deeds, but we've got to be a bit careful about that, haven't we?
From the home group, you go to Philippians, and you think, what a great thing that this guy is going to be able to
teach us. Yeah. And we could say, remember the word you've given us, Lord, in Philippians 1, couldn't we? And we'd say, Lord, remember you've given us this. Remember that, you know, we can see all kinds of situations where it seems like you've started a work. Please complete it, Lord. We could remind the Lord of scriptures that he's given to us as promises. Yeah? Yes, you can. And let's name, and we can name some, you see. You know, many of these remembrances about the promises in here, they're specific, aren't they? Specific promises are mentioned, or promises to various people. Yeah. Because, of course, wrath is hanging over that sin, isn't it? Remember, Lord, that everyone who has sinned will come under your wrath unless you intervene with mercy, yeah? I'll give it to you in a second. I've got another sheet. Any others? Well, come up with some more when we're praying. Just before we turn to prayer then, they're all the situations in Scripture. That's every verse I could find where somebody is calling out to God to remember. But there are 10 when God says, I will remember. There's lots of other references in the third person. But in the specific references where God says, I will remember, there are 10. It says 13 on it because one's repeated 3 times. And I'll just leave this with you for our encouragement. These are his promises about remembering. The only New Testament ones, by the way, at the bottom are just quotes of Jeremiah 31, hence the difference between 13 and 10. But it struck me as I read these, you know, that they only speak about 4 subjects. All these different promises. And again, I've scanned the whole of Scripture, so there aren't any others than these. And God says, I will remember, only about 4 subjects. Right? These are the only 4 things that God says, I will remember. One is the covenant. The first few are about that, look. Genesis and Leviticus. I will remember my covenant that is between me and you. So that ties in with one of the prayers, doesn't it? Remember your covenant. Well, the first 3, look, are all about covenant. Then the fourth one, down Isaiah 43. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. So that's, you know, in the opposite way, I'm not going to remember. So the second thing he says about remembrance is sins. Then Isaiah 44, look, remember these things, oh God, that's asking him. And Israel, for you are my servant, I formed you, you are my servant. Oh Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. So that's God's people themselves, not forgotten. So covenant, sins, and God's people. And then Jeremiah 2, the next one. Thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth. your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. That's the fourth thing you remember, devotion. And that's all. All the other references, look, if you look at them all, they're all in relation to the same things. The Jeremiah 14 is about their iniquity and sins. Jeremiah 31 is about Ephraim, my dear son, remembering God's people. He's my child. As often as I speak against him, I do remember him. So God won't forget us. The Jeremiah 31, again, is about not remembering their sins anymore. Look at the end of there. I've underlined remember. Ezekiel 16 is about covenant again. And Hosea 7 is about remembering people's sins who have not yet repented. So, in all of Scripture, the Lord speaks about only four things that he will or won't remember. Covenant, sins, his people, and devotion. And it strikes me all those things are all very similar, aren't they? All to do with our spiritual standing before God. All to do with our relationship with him. God remembers his relationship with his people. The sin that gets in the way, the devotion that comes from those who trust him, the covenant he has made with his people, and those who are his. That's what God remembers. So again, we can pray in the light of that, can't we, and ask him to hold to these promises. Remember your promises, Lord. You said you will remember our sins no more, and you said that you will remember your people. So we can ask him to do that, can't we?